Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the name of Jesus. Sound of refuge, thank you for that worship. Thank you. I don't want you to be quiet. Pray in the spirit under your breath. When we come to church, we come to receive from him. We come to be refreshed. It is not a routine. You are not here because Sunday mornings you have to come. You are not here because your unit head needs to see you. You are here because you want to fellowship with the Father. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 20. And I'm going to be talking on building faith for rest. Building faith for rest. Deuteronomy 3:20. Hallelujah. Until the Lord has given you rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. Until the Lord, no, we remain on verse 20. Until the Lord has given you rest. Then after he gives you rest, then you possess the land. Possession here means now the physical possession of the land. Now, I want you to know that when the Israelites started all this, their journey, the promise they had was premised on a covenant that God had with Abraham. So the promise to them was not based on a contract. It wasn't based on their requirement to do certain things. The promise, and when I say the Israelites, please, I want you to just picture yourself also as being the heir to this inheritance. It was as a covenant between God and Abraham. Hallelujah. So the inheritance that they had to take, the land that they had to take, and please note that in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that the way Abraham understood the land, the founder and the builder of the land was God alone. So it was not limited to a span of land. Do you understand me? It wasn't limited to the habitation. It wasn't limited to, you know, when you measure land by acre. It wasn't limited to that. This land is as defined by God. And when you say land, land is not just the soil. Land is everything that keeps the ecosystem functional. Land is air. Land is sea. Land is everything within the ecosystem that gives life. Land is everything that supports life. So when God said, I will give you a land, he brought Abraham into an understanding that this particular land has only one architect, and that's God. So it is not the land you have in mind, because, you know, it's not impossible that somebody may be thinking, my problem now is not a piece of land. My landlord is okay. You are probably thinking, my problem now is promotion at work. It is land. Your health is land. The food we eat today is land. Hallelujah. So this came about based on the covenant Abraham had with God. Now, I want you to know that there's a difference between covenant and the law. As much as both of them are binding, laws have jurisdictions. Covenants have no boundaries. So, for instance, if you are a lawyer, you are bound by the practice of law. If you are an accountant, you have no business with the law that governs the lawyers. Do you understand? But for covenants, the moment you come into a covenant, there is no more boundary. There is nothing that stops you. You are not restricted within a particular confinement if you're in a covenant. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Laws are territorial. Laws can be restrictive. The laws in Nigeria do not apply. The laws in Nigeria will not apply to you if you're in UK. Right? That's why I don't know who gave these children the ideas. But sometimes when my daughter is upset, she says, why don't you even move to the UK? And I remind her, if you're in the UK, I will flog you. I don't know why they just believe that flogging is limited to Nigeria. And you know, we stumbled on a cartoon yesterday. And I told my kids not to watch that cartoon. There's this cartoon now. If Bluey had the complications of African parents, go and look for it. You will see how they describe African parents as being abusive, waking the children up in the morning with slaps, with belts. And I said, no, this is why our children believe that life is better there. They don't see it as discipline. They see it as abuse. So I always remind them, until I'm sure that you can behave well, yourself, you will not go anywhere where you cannot be flogged. So if you live by the laws in a particular country, the moment you step out of the borders of that country, the laws will no longer apply. But when you carry a covenant, wherever you go, it remains. It continues to be valid. Hallelujah. So he says, then the Lord will give them rest. And after the rest, they will possess the land. They will be able to then take ownership of the land physically. Now, I want you to know that there is a world system and there is God's system. That's why the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. There are two different systems. The system of the world does not recognize rest before physical possession. It is in the system of God, it's in God's system, that God places rest first before physical possession. The world walks by sight, but we walk by faith. Hallelujah. That is why January 1, your pastor can declare it is your year of rest, even when you know that that morning you cried all through the day. Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. The devil took him to the high mountains, took him. The devil told him the first test. He said, turn this stone to bread. Because in his own world, I won't see. Don't stop giving me scripture. You hear people tell you, don't be spiritual here. Let's face facts. That is the system of the world. He said, turn it to, you say you are the son of God. I need to see that you are the son of God by the physical things that I see. I need to see that you are the son of God when I can see you turn stone into something that, into a direct opposite of what stone is. Turn it to bread. He said, you want to take the kingdom. I know that's why you came. Then he took him to the pinnacle and said, fall down and worship me. And you will have the kingdom. You don't need to wait. I mean, it's faster. The kingdom is in my hand. Revelation says that the kingdom of this world may become the kingdom of our Lord. So don't wait. I am the one holding the key, right? Show me now how you want to take this thing. Show me now, now, now. Fall down now. Bow before me. And I will hand it over to you instantly. There's no need walking by faith. This is why the devil has so cheated us. That when there is a word of prophecy, the next morning you wake up, and when you don't see the manifestation of that word, you begin to doubt God. For us to come into our rest this year, we must remain in our own system that has declared the rest. Our rest this year, our rest in the word of God, in the covenant, is not as orchestrated by the devil. So the system of the world will not give us. You only get this rest when you are glued and connected to the system that is giving it. The system by which the rest has come to play. The system that has covenanted this rest unto us. And that is why we have to walk by faith. And every believer who does not walk by faith remains in struggle, because then you are acting by the world system and it doesn't work that way. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And please give me the amplified version. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds, God has not forgotten. that he gave us a promise. Pastor Tope was reading in the first service and he said, the Lord said unto us, bring your burden, bring your yoke. I will give you rest. He said it and he says it still holds. For as many that the devil, during the week on Tuesday, Pastor was talking about the torment of fear. If you were not in church or you didn't join online, please go and listen to that Tuesday message. Have you not noticed that? Now, this is a diversion. Have you not noticed that most of the time when Pastor comes up in series, it's usually from Tuesday service. So most of the time you come to church on Sunday and you say, some of us got the chunk of it on a Tuesday. Because usually it is that Tuesday that he realizes there's more to this. It's deeper than this. The last series of messages he preached in January, it was in December. In December, it was from a Tuesday service. The three-day fasting and prayer, that some people came and they felt, it was from the Tuesday service of that week. It's just expo that I gave you. For those of us that come on Tuesday, we know ourselves. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, though. Just that we cannot help but bluff. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hallelujah. So that promise still stands and is offered today. So aside from the fact that that promise still stands, there is an offer being extended to you today. Now, I don't care if this was written a million years ago. Bible says it is offered today. Oh, today. So you have right in front of you an offer for rest. The Lord has said, I know you have forgotten I promised you rest. I have come back again this morning to offer it to you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please leave the scripture there. Don't bother about my face. Leave the scripture there. Hallelujah. He said, let us be afraid. Afraid here means let us tremble. Let us be careful. This afraid is not out of fear. It is let us be careful to distrust it. Be careful not to believe that it is there standing in front of you. Pastor Paul was saying something in the morning. He said the anointing is more powerful than the yoke. The rest is more restful than the troubles. Even if you have found a way around it, some people say, I know how to manage my issues. God is saying, I am giving you rest. The Lord is saying, I want to take it off you totally. It is not about managing it. The covenant did not say you will manage it. It says, I'm giving you rest. Rest. Do you know what rest is? Do you know what rest is? Elijah declared drought on a land. In my mind, I was thinking, before you declare, at least you have plans to japa. Elijah was still in that land. He didn't even think he was going to be affected. He didn't even think the scarcity of rain would cut short his own supply. He went ahead and declared drought. And guess what? After he declared drought, he didn't go to pray. He said, Father, I have declared. Settle me now. Lord, think of me. It was God now running about. Hey, Elijah has declared drought. Okay, what do we do? Oh yeah, prepare a brook. Okay, Elijah, go to the brook. Oh yeah, get a raven. It was God doing the running around. That is rest. That is rest. It was God looking for a raven. Do you know how greedy ravens can be? A raven is not like any other bird. Ravens don't share, not even with their children. They don't share. You now gave fish to a raven. How about now? So God had to look for whatever means was available to say to Elijah. Guess what? The brook got dry. And I didn't see Elijah declare a three-day fast. Because when you are in rest and you declare fast, the fast is to seek his face and to know more of him. The fast is to help you trust in him the more. Elijah did not declare fast because the brook was dry. In fact, I am not even sure Elijah realized the brook was dry. And before the brook got totally dry, God already made another arrangement for Elijah. Who says you have to be stranded? Who says you have to struggle? One of our sisters here got an offer, a job offer over the week. And she called me. And she said, Pastor Omi, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I don't think I should take the offer. And I said, why? Guess what she said? She said, I didn't apply for it. So they just called me. I said, okay, I want to believe that you are just being extra joyful. Because when God gives you rest, even you are not even ready to change jobs. And God is saying, sort out, push another one. Give her another supply. So when I say rest, I don't mean rest is not the lack of activity. Rest is not when you are less busy. Rest is not an excuse to be lazy. Rest is not being laid back. Rest is walking in absolute trust. Hallelujah. Rest is walking in absolute trust. Absolute trust in God. It doesn't mean you stop going to work. It doesn't mean you stop being your best at work. It doesn't mean you stop studying. It only means that in everything you do, you come to the assurance that God is your source. Hallelujah. I remember there was a time, and I'm sure I must have shared this particular testimony before. My boss told me, you just got promotion 2 years ago. You don't need to get another one. And I said, just put it there now. She said, okay. Let's just put it there, but you're just wasting my time. You're wasting my recommendation. I said, put it. And she put it. And I wasn't supposed to get it, sincerely. And then it was that same year, the MD woke up and said, you know what? People have been very angry about promotion in this organization. Everybody recommended, just promote them. Hallelujah. Rest is absolute trust in God. Put up Hebrews chapter 4 again. Where did we stop? So let us not be afraid to distrust it. You see an offer right before you. Don't doubt it. Embrace it today. Embrace the offer of rest that God has given you. Lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of it. You have not come late. Yes, some people have gone ahead, but you have not come late. This is your set time. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is your set time. The set time, being at the right place and at the right time. So I say to you, this is your time. Yeah. This is your set time. Yeah. That rest that you have only seen from afar, you have only dreamt of it. You have only imagined it. You know, there are sometimes you just imagine that you are okay. I say from this moment, it becomes a reality to you. In the name of Jesus. I have tried to explain to you before that in this kingdom, we come into rest and then we take physical possession. So every imagination you've had that I cannot have rest until I begin to see things changing, I've come to tell you today that that's not how it works. You are coming into rest from today. You are coming into rest from today. And you will possess your possessions in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Move to verse 2. You have not come late. Tell yourself, I am not late. I am not late to the party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For indeed we have had the glad tidings proclaimed to us just as truly as they. My focus is on verse 3, but I just want to read this. The Israelites of old did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. So, you know, Pastor Paul was talking about bondage in the morning. So this is to let you know that the labor of the Israelites was what God was giving them rest from. So just look at your labor. Look at everything that has caused you to sweat. Everything that has caused you to weep. Everything that has caused you to strain. Everything that makes you feel sad, makes you feel weary, makes you feel tired, that makes you get overwhelmed. You look at yourself sometimes and you look at some other people and you wish you were them. No, your time has come for people to envy you. Your time has come for people to wish to be you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, but the message they heard did not benefit them. So all I'm saying now may not benefit some people. It's not a curse. Because it was not mixed with faith. Faith, yeah, with the leaning of the entire personality on in and confidence in his is and hallelujah. So the reason believers, even though we have the promise of rest, will not walk in rest is because we have not trusted that offering that the Lord has given to us. It was not mixed with faith. I told you the subject today is building faith for rest. So for us to walk in rest, there is an important ingredient, and that is what? Faith. Because rest is not the seeing of the physical things that you want to see. It is a walk in faith. We are not of the world. So when God says he gives us rest, we come into the rest. And then after you come into the rest, you are able to physically possess. So those who did not get anything from it, who did not benefit from it, did not mix this particular message with faith by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard it and who did believe. Verse 3. For we who have believed. Handali katabosha kataya. Oh, I thought you were going to personalize it. For we who have believed, we are dead to, we trusted in, and we relied on God. We will enter that rest in accordance with his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter. When he says, what we are looking at, the first verse, we will enter in accordance with God's declaration. Because we what? We believe. We are there too. We trusted in God. And we are relying on God. They have said the budget this year will not accommodate promotion. I've come to tell you today that your promotion is not dependent on the budget of your organization. Oh, okay, hold on. They've increased your children's school fees and you are bothered. I have come to tell you today that the Lord is bringing rest even in that situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For everyone who is into business, the Lord is giving you a strategy of rest. A strategy of rest. In the name of Jesus. You have come into rest today. And you will physically possess your possessions. In the name of Jesus. So let's quickly look at the God system. And how we can build faith for rest. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to read. It's a very long read. The whole of Genesis chapter 1. But I want you to see where God, in you know, the first expression of the cycle of rest. You know, I told you rest. And then you possess. But what is the full cycle? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without void. That's how I'm going to be reading it. So please, just follow me. The earth was without form and void. So the first thing is there was a need. There was a problem. There was a challenge. So that you have a need or you have a challenge or there's a problem does not make you an exception. It is normal in the cycle of rest. It starts with a problem. Hallelujah. And so, blah, blah, blah. If you jump to verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light. Verse 5, and God called the light day. Now, if you look at verse 1 all the way to verse 21, 22, you will see the cycle, and God said, and God saw, and God called it. And then at the end of that passage, you will see verse 20, chapter 2, where the Bible now records that God rested after this walk. But chapter 2, verse 5 said, there was nothing. Oh, are you listening to me? So God said, God saw, and God named it, and then God rested, but there was no physical manifestation. So I just wanted to show you an example of how this cycle really works as ordained of God. And when God was handing over the earth to man in verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, I'm handing over everything I have created. But was there any physical thing created? Nothing. So God expects us to follow the same cycle. God said, let us make man in our own likeness. Let him be like us. The way we create is the way he will create. Do you understand? The way we create, the way we bring things into manifestation is the same way he will do it, because he is like us. And how did God create? God said. God saw. God named it. God rested. And then there were physical manifestations. So the seeing, and the naming are those materials that you require to build faith and help you rest when you come to that season of rest. So those three stages are the phases of creation. The saying, the seeing, the naming, they help you build the faith, the belief that you need, so that when you come into the season of rest, you are not perturbed. When you come into the season of rest, you have said, you have seen, you have named. You know you are only waiting for the physical manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's God's system. So don't let the devil tell you you'll be waiting, you've not seen anything. Oh, you need to build faith for this wait. You need to build faith for this season of rest. You need to build faith so that when you're in this season, you know you are not idle. Rest does not mean you are idle. Rest does not mean you have nothing to do. Rest only means you are waiting on God for everything that you have said, everything that you have seen, everything that you have called for to begin to manifest physically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God said, you need to start saying. And this is not the normal chattering. So like I was saying, this is not the normal chattering. You just want to talk. This is talking in accordance to his ordinance. Bible says in the book of Hebrews that as he has proclaimed it, you have to make your speech come in alignment with what the Lord has proclaimed upon you. And you may say, oh, the pastor has not prophesied upon me in the past few months. Go into the word and begin to speak it forth. When the Israelites were faced with Goliath, Bible records that for 40 days, do you know how Goliath held them with the torment of fear? He kept talking to them. For 40 days, he would come out and declare, anybody that faces me will die. And they would, is it not 1 Samuel? I think I wrote it somewhere. 1 Samuel 17:8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you standing and wasting your time? I'm not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul. Choose you a man to come and let him come to me. Verse 9. If he is able to fight with me and to kill me, he kept bluffing. Go to verse 10. Was it verse 10 or verse 11 that said, for 40 days? Go to verse 11. Let me see. No, I think it's later in the scripture. He said, for 40 days, Goliath kept talking to them. And you know the funniest thing? At a point, the Bible records that in verse 19, the Bible actually records that they were fighting. Go to verse 19, please. I think I'm just being conscious of time. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. We go, which fight? There was no physical fight, but there was a fight of words. There was a war of words going on. There was no physical throwing of arrows. But Goliath was shooting at their souls. He was shooting at their minds. He was shooting at their perception. He kept talking down on them. And they were all afraid. But somebody who was not under the influence of his speech for 40 days, who was elsewhere, also speaking his own, Speaking his victory over lions. Speaking his victory over foxes. Speaking his victory in the forest. He was also doing some talking somewhere. By the time he showed out, for the first time, somebody responded to Goliath. I said, you have been quiet for too long. You need to speak. You need to speak. Start saying it out. God said, God in his infinite power did not think of light. He did not just do like this. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing that was made that was not made by the Word. So if you want to create your physical possession and the season of rest, you better get up and begin to speak. And begin to speak. And begin to speak forth your victory. When David showed up before Goliath, he didn't say, you are tall, you are bigger than me. No, he began to declare that in accordance with the will of the Lord, you cannot stand and defy the armies of the Lord. Maybe we are saying the wrong things. Because it's possible for you to just say, this economy, you get as it be. And it's very easy to say such things. It's very easy to, because we just trivialize it. We just see it as normal. Normalize speaking your victory, even over this economy. Do you know that there are some people in this economy that don't even know that there's something happening in Nigeria? I'm telling you. You will see some parties and you'll be wondering, how did the budget for this one come out? Hallelujah. We have to start speaking. There is a war of words going on. It is not until you begin to see the arrows flying up and down. When Goliath was speaking to them, he was in the war. And Bible records that they were actually fighting. But the Israelites had no weapon because they kept quiet. In this season, we will speak. In this season, we will speak. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Kadabosha, Kataba, Ligataya. And God saw. After God said, let there be light, the light did not come physically, but God saw. So you need to begin to see that thing that you are saying. This seeing is dealing with your perception. It has nothing to do with your naked eyes. You see with your brain, you see with your mind, you see with your every sense of perception within you. You need to begin to see your victory. You need to begin to see what you are calling for. Now, let me ask a question. How many people here, you've not visited Dubai physically, but you have gone in your mind? I've not been to Singapore before, but I've visited some places in Singapore already. So you've not, but you have gone in your mind. Now, when you went in your mind, you knew you were in Dubai. How did you know? How did you know you were having dinner in the sky? Have you ever seen any movie where they show the scene in Dubai? Yes. So most likely you've seen something that informs you that when you want to have dinner in the sky, which I don't plan to have, that when you want to have dinner in the sky, this is what it looks like. The table is covered in white. The wine glass is put somehow. And then you will be, even in your imagination, you think that you'll be scared a bit though. Then you will hold the table. That's the power of sight. That's the power of sight. You have seen it somewhere. It is registered in your mind. Don't shut it down. Keep looking at it. God told Abraham. He brought him out to the starlight, and he said, count, the number of stars you are able to count will be your generation. For Abraham to count, he needed to see. How can you count the stars closing your eyes? But you know what? If Abraham had counted that day with his physical eyes, maybe all of us would not be here. So he needed to activate his perception to see in alignment with what God was saying. God has said, I will make you father of nations. So if I was Abraham, I will look into the sky, represent one star by one nation. Ah, are you listening to me? This sin is not by what you see physically, because what you see physically will drain your faith. It won't build your faith. Hallelujah. So you need to begin to see. You need to begin to open your eyes and begin to see. And when I say open your eyes, I mean open every sense of perception that you have. And begin to see in line with God's ordinance for your rest. And the last one, God named it. You say it, but now you need to name it. Naming is being specific. I want a new job, but as what? Where? In which company? Which organization? Which sector? Do you want a local job? Do you want a multinational? Do you want a global role? You need to be specific as you name it. After God said, let there be light, he saw that there was light, and God called it. When you name something, you gain control over it. When you name something, it gives you the ability to control it. So you need to be able to place a tag on that thing. I want to get married. When? To who? It's not just get married. To who? When? How? Hallelujah. So we need to see, we need to say, and we need to name it. And then you come into the rest. You come into your rest. You come into your rest. This sin builds your faith. This sin helps you to build faith. When you begin to name it, it's becoming more real to you. When you are pregnant with a baby, you'll still be saying, the baby, the baby, the baby. The moment the baby comes out and you give the baby a name, it becomes more real. You can easily relate. You can have ownership. You are no longer afraid that you can lose it. Hallelujah. So you need to be able to build faith with these three activities. And this faith will sustain you in this season of rest. Because God is not man that he should fail. When he says he's giving you rest, he's giving you rest. When he says you are possessing your possession, you are possessing it. When he says 2025 is your year of all-round settlement, he meant all-round settlement. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all of this will help us build our faith, our trust in God. So that when the devil begins to fire arrows, the enemies of rest at you, in the season of rest, you are able to stand. Oh, the devil will attack with doubt. The devil will attack with worry. The devil will attack with anxiety. The devil will attack with all sorts to get you out of your place of rest. Stand to your feet. I don't know if I have some David in the house this morning. You may look like you are too small in front of that challenge. You may look like this challenge will swallow you up because you are just very little. But you are going to rise this morning and begin to speak. I will not be swallowed up by this situation. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I stand upon the sound of victory that the Lord has assured me of. And I declare my victory. I declare that I am overcoming her. I declare that I am coming out of this. I declare that I am not stranded. I declare that I am not alone. I declare that the Lord is upholding me. I declare that I come into my rest. As you pray, begin to hold your family in your heart. Hold your children in your heart. Hold your siblings in your heart. And begin to declare, we will not be swallowed up by this situation. We speak the victory of the Lord. Pray. Begin to speak. Begin to speak. Begin to name it. Begin to call it by name. Begin to tag it. I will not be swallowed up by this situation. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Manto lekadabo shekete belikadabo sukataya. Ah, lekatakatakatakatakata. Give me King James. Embelekete belekete bo zekete belikete kete kete kete. Lembra likata bazuka tamba lekete bo shakata. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Yeah. I say no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Yeah. And every tongue. Now this recognizes that we are in a war of words. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Yeah. When David faced Goliath, Goliath was a tongue that had risen against them, proclaiming judgment upon them, proclaiming all sorts of terrible things upon the Israelites. They lost their confidence in the fact that the God Almighty is their mighty man of war. There is a way the devil and his agents talk down on you. They speak to your heart so much that you forget that you have God somewhere. You just get discouraged from nowhere. No energy to pray. No strength to study. Today, you are condemning every tongue. I condemn every tongue that has risen in judgment against my health, against my home, against my finances, against my children, against my marriage, against my life. Every tongue that has risen in judgment against my business, against my career, I condemn today. In the name of Jesus, makata basukete, rekete bojekete kete, empalika tapazukata, ekotoponikete bozekete, ekata kata kata kata. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Now you are going to pull out every arrow of negative words that the devil has thrown at you. Every seed of negativity that the devil has sown in the soil of your heart. By the blood of Jesus, I pull out every arrow of negativity, every seed of error that the devil has sown in my heart. I invoke the power in the blood of Jesus. I invoke the power in the blood of Jesus. And I pull out every arrow of negative words that has held me down, that has pinned me down. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, Now you are going to cancel every negative word that you yourself have spoken over yourself. Either by means of prank. Because these days, people just want to play. You will see somebody lying down. They say they are pranking that they are dead. I don't understand. Either by means of joke. Either by means of complaint. Either by means of being realistic. You will declare. Every negative word that I have mistakenly spoken upon myself, upon my children, upon my career, upon my business, by the blood of Jesus, I cancel it this morning. It shall not stand. It shall not hold. In the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I've spoken upon myself. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. When God needed to begin to work, I hope you are not tired. We are just praying, We are just praying. Because you see this rest, we will enter. The devil is a liar. We will enter this rest. We are praying, And as we are saying it, our faith is building. Because in this season, no devil will hold you back. In this season, no evil will hold you back. In the name of Jesus. We're still going to pray. When God started working with Abraham, at a point God saw that this guy, I have not named you. That is why things are still looking this way. You are still in and out. You are still doubting my powers. Then God told him, I'm changing your name. The same way I made light and I called it a name. The same way I made day and I named it. The same way I made birds of the air and I named them. God said, Abraham, I'm naming you today. You will begin to declare the name that the Lord has called you. Oh, who is success here? Who is victory here? Who is the champion here? Who is the healed of the Lord? Who is the favored of the Lord? Who is the one who has seen mercy? Who is the one who is graciously blessed? Who is the blessed here this morning? Begin to call yourself by your name. Malika Debo Sukata. I am allowing me the blessed of the Lord. I am allowing me the favored of the Lord. I walk and I prosper in it. I am not stranded. For me, allow me. There is light in Goshen for me. In Dalakata Basukata. Allow me. I am dependent on the economy of heaven. Embalakata Basukata. I come into my rest today. I come into my rest today. I come into my rest today. No more struggle. No more hustling. No more troubles. No more stress. I walk into favor. I walk into the mercies of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. The Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against every attack that comes in your season of rest. You are going to pray one last prayer and say, Spirit of the Lord, help me to overcome worry. Help me to overcome doubt. Help me to overcome anxiety. Help me to overcome fear. In this season of rest, I refuse to be brought down by worry. I refuse to become anxious.